I can hear you say amen. So let's go ahead and pray together. I believe the word of God is going to go out in a mighty fashion. Hallelujah. The anointing of God is strong this morning. Let's go ahead and stretch your hand towards the television or lift them up towards heaven if you can. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the great anointing of the Holy Spirit. We invite him. He's our great one who leads us and guides us and teaches us. We ask, Father, that there'll be such a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your Holy Child, Jesus. If there's anyone sick with any kind of ailment, the power of God will go and break the chains of sickness and oppression. Those with any kind of mental, emotional disturbances, the healing flow of Jesus, the ointment of God, will wash away every discomfort in the name of Jesus. We also pray, Father God, that the anointing of God will begin to reach down in the hearts of people. They begin to see what is possible for them. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And I thank you, Father God, that my teaching will be with such power that it cannot be put aside, because the word of God is demonstrated through the preaching of the word. As Paul preached, let my preaching and teaching be not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We want to thank you that you would fill each heart with might by your power in your inner man, that Christ will dwell in our hearts by faith. We pray, Father God, that you would pour in such a word that they'll have revelation, knowledge, that they will know who they are, what they can do, and what is possible in their lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody that believed that, say amen and amen. Let's go to the Word of God this morning. We are going to go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. We're going to read the King James Version. And we're calling this message the essential Word of God. The essential Word of God. That is a key phrase, a key word in this hour. And so, of course, our topic is speaking on the Word of God, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. And we're going to read that, and we're going to see the strength of God here. And I want to look at something here as well. It's going to be very important to us. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's go to the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. I'm going to read it from my Bible here this morning. And I hope you have your Bible or something to write on. I don't know. I always bring my Bible. I got my notes and my iPad, and I have my phone. I have all kinds of notes in there. But I like reading it a lot of times from the Bible just to help people out, because, you know, even though I know certain words, I still read it. Let's go ahead and read the whole thing. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. And it says here, chapter 4, verse 1, "And was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? And when he fasted 40 days and nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." Let's read that verse 4 again. "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." We thank God for that word. Now, what I want to propose to you, and what I want to get across to you this morning as a teaching, and that is that you will have to meet the devil on his turf. And you'll have to meet him in a situation where he lives. And so it's important that you and I honestly need to know about the Word of God in our own life and what it will do for our own lives. And let me just go back here for a second. I think I might have, let's see, notes. You know, these things are good when they work. When it don't work, it's not always good. The essential Word of God. Okay. Let's say you'll have to meet the devil on his turf if you're going to if you're going to defeat him. You're going to have to meet him right there, and you have to bring the Word of God to him and tell him what the Word of God says. If you don't do that, you're going to lose the battle. And so you can't be afraid of the devil. You're going to have to overcome fear and make sure that you're not going to let him push you around. So as it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So the main idea I want to get to you is that you'll have to meet the devil on his turf, on his ground, if you're gonna beat him. So the Bible is the Word of God. Remember, the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is God speaking to you and me. The Bible is God speaking to you and me. We need to keep the Word of God before our eyes, close to our hearts, because this Word keeps our minds focused. It keeps us on the right thing. This Word gives us light when everything around us grows dark. Remember that. It keeps us, gives us light. It strengthens us when we are weak. You could be at the weakest moment in your life, and if you go to the Word, it will strengthen you. And it will also anchor your life in the storms of life. Whenever storms are beating upon your life, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 there, in the last letter section of that chapter, it talks about in there that Jesus said when the storms of life come and they're so great and enormous, some people will fall away. But if you hang on to the Word of God, you'll still be standing when the storm passes over. And so it will anchor you in the storms of when the storm threatens to blow you away, blow your life away. The Word of God is a foundation. The Word of God is a foundation, as spoken about, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, over there, he'll, in the latter sections of that chapter, it talks about there that Jesus said. In fact, why don't we just go over there right now, Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read a few verses of Scripture to show you that the Word of God is the foundation of our lives. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, and let's read from, verse 24, 25, 26, and 27. Let's read from those verses of Scripture, and let's see what it says here. As part of our introduction this morning, we want to go to a number of Scripture verses this morning to show a fact that the Word of God is very essential to your life. All right, let's go to the verse. Now, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon a sand. Upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And you can see here that Jesus is talking about in the storms of life, the battles come. You know, every one of us is going to run into storms in life, and you can't live in this world without encountering some kind of storm. Every one of us, I don't care who you are, And you can be the strongest person that believes in God's word and lives in presence and pray all day long. You're going to encounter all kinds of struggles in this life because you're living in a fallen world where things are not right. And you're going to have to fight your way and stick with the Word of God. And if you don't stick with the Word, it'll essentially destroy your life. So you'll have to meet the devil on his turf. And that's this world here, and with the Word of God, with the Word of truth, if you're going to win the battle. So the Bible is the Word of God speaking to us. We have to understand that. So Jesus, the Bible says here, let's look at the life of Jesus here again, and we're going to look at this. Jesus was led into the wilderness, the Bible says, to be tempted of the devil. He had to confront the devil right there, and then what Jesus did, he's showing us something here that's important to us. Jesus was hungry after fasting for 40 days and nights. The devil came to tempt him when he was a weak in physical body and strength. And he tried to get Jesus to quit and find a shorter way out. You know, the devil will put enough pressure on you to find a quicker way out of the struggle or out of the pressures of staying with the word. He'll put it up. That's why James chapter 1, verse 2 talks about there are temptations. That word temptation actually in the Greek spells out pressures of life. And so the devil will put pressure on you in order for you to relent or to give up the word that you have about healing, about your children, about your health, whatever. He put pressure, enough pressure on you so that you'll quit. You'll see this also. Jesus mentioned this in other versions in Mark chapter 4, I believe. It talks about the pressures of life, getting people away from out of the word. And so Jesus, in that situation, in Matthew chapter 4, if you read the whole thing, you'll see that Jesus demonstrated for us what we should do when it comes to the heat of the battle in life. So remember that Jesus was human, just like you and me. And many people in the Bible think about this, you know, and even in James chapter 5, there it talks about, in verse 16 on, it talks about the prayer of a righteous man brings tremendous power available. And James uses Elijah as an illustration for us. He said, this man of God, this prophet, was a man just like you and me. He was human, just like you and me. And the Bible says he prayed in a strong way that God was able to release supernatural power to help out. And so you and I are human beings, and God will give us supernatural power to help us get through any trial. So remember, Jesus was human, just like us. Because the Bible says this over in John chapter 1, verse 14. And if you read, the Bible says, the beginning, the Word was made flesh. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Then in verse 14, it says there, and the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is speaking about Jesus. He was in the beginning the Word of God. You know, he was given the name Jesus. His name is the Word. He's the Word of God. And the Bible says he was made over here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. The King James Bible says this. This is talking about Jesus. But made himself, that is Jesus, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That Jesus became in the likeness of men. He became a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He was made just like you and me. And verse 8 says in Philippians 2, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. So that scripture says in chapter 2 and verse 8, being found in the fashion as a man. In other words, he became a man. So we know that Jesus had to become a man in order to show us how we could defeat the devil. Like we could say, oh, that's Jesus. You know, he's the Son of God, and he can do magic. He can do miracles. He can speak whatever. And I can't do that. And that's what when I used to study that, I used to think about that. I never, my eyes was covered with seeing the truth because, you know, what do you mean, you know, like Jesus, you know, be like Jesus? Well, I didn't understand all these scriptures. And so I couldn't relate to Jesus because I didn't have the teaching of God's word to show me that he became a man. He gave up his power and glory and became a man. And he had to rely on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. He had to be led by the Spirit and his Father in life. And so you and I can do the same thing. And so Jesus gave up his life by becoming flesh or human to show us the way to victory, and he came here to rescue us from our present dilemma. Over here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, he says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God. So it's God's will that we be protected and be strengthened and delivered from any kind of evil that would try to harm us. The devil was here already on earth when Jesus came, and Jesus met him right there. You know, the devil stole Adam and Eve's authority that God gave them from the beginning. Essentially, they were, Adam and Eve were, the god of this world, but Satan took it from them by deception. And the devil, when the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a real temptation. Because the devil had the power that Adam had, that God gave to him from the beginning. Here, over here it says, let's go to read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 28. And God says, God said, let us make man. He's talking to, God is talking, the Father talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He says, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. The word dominion is means authority and power. Let them have power and dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon earth. And if you have any creepers, you have authority over them, praise God. And if you got any, you can take authority over that. Verse 28 says this, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And I know our pastors, they've been very fruitful and they're multiplying, but lately they stopped a little bit. So be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion. Praise God, amen. Have dominion. And over there, and you know, if you read Romans 5 and verse 17, the Bible says that we reign in life, in this life as a king. The Amplified says, Romans 5, 17, we reign. The word reign implies that we're kings. Reign is a word that implies kingship and authority. We reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And how does the king reign? He reigns. He rules with his word, praise God. Anything he says comes to pass. What he says will come to pass. When he makes a decree, when a king makes a decree, it comes to pass. That's what it says in the scripture. So he said, and have dominion, verse 28, over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moves upon earth. So he had that authority. Now we go back to Jesus. Here's what the devil said to Jesus at the temptation. And this is what he will do with you, what the devil will do with you, especially when he seems to have the upper hand in your life, when you think you're at the end and he'll want you to quit. Like a lot of people, you know, they start coming to church, they believe in tithing and they get financial difficulty and they go for a number of years. They don't really believe in it, but they're doing it. They do it because they're in fear instead of faith. And so the devil keeps attacking them and they finally quit. Because they put too much pressure on them. They said, this is not working and that's not working. Their words, their very words themselves, shows you that they didn't believe in it. If they believe in it, they'd say, praise God, amen. You would say it. You're a king in your life. Whatever you say will work in your life. Jesus said, you'll have what you say, Mark 11, 23, 24. And so here in Luke chapter 4, verse 6, he says, the devil said unto him, that is the devil talking to Jesus, All this power will I give you, and the glory of them, that for that is delivered unto me, and whomever will I give it? Who delivered unto Satan? Well, Adam and Eve did. They gave it over to him, and he had the dominion, and that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this world. Jesus said over there in the 14th chapter, he said that Satan, you know, he's the prince of this world. And so on. We see those expressions in the epistles as well, that he is the power of the air. So we have to understand that Jesus had this temptation and to quit and to give up, just like you and me, like any other human being. And so he responded in verse 4. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's the word of God. And so he used the word. So you need to say this to yourself. The word of God is essential. Say that to yourself right now, wherever you are. Say, the word is essential. So you have to understand that. So the word of God is essential if you're going to overcome any obstacle in your life. The word of God is essential in every part and for every trial of life. Get the word of God in your heart. Plant the word of God in your heart. Make time. Take time for the word of God. The Lord demonstrated for us how we can overcome, what we can do to satanic attacks. We can overcome every temptation, every trial, and every test by using the word of God and apply it against him when we encounter the devil in our lives. I was telling my wife, as a young man in my early 20s, I came to understand the Word of God. I listened to Brother Hagin's tape. It was just one little cassette tape was given me about the twofold redemption. And that word stuck with me. I listened to that over and over and over and over again as a young man. And I didn't know why I liked it, But I gravitated toward it. I loved it. I listened to it over and over and over again. It makes sense to me, but my mind wasn't really getting it that much, but my heart loved it. And so ever since I was in my 20s, and I'm in my mid-60s, and I was in my mid-20s when I heard all this, and it's been planted in my life for those many years, and I'm getting stronger all the time, praise God, amen? So during this recent crisis of COVID-19, things are deemed to be essential or non-essential, and we look at the pages, the government, what the government's putting out, and we hear newscasts, our local news here, Ontario News on our CBC, CTV, and they're telling the Ontario government is saying this, and the federal government is saying this, the doctors are saying this, the medical people are saying this, the hospitals are saying this, and they're telling us what's essential and what's not essential. And so many churches have closed their doors for some, maybe, I don't know, permanently. Some of them closed, and they're going down in some ways. And so the government has deemed at times that churches were non-essential places. But they said that bars, nightclubs, or liquor stores, and places where you can get, these drugs and so on, they were deemed essential. And how could a liquor store be deemed essential when we can't go to church and different things like that? So we know that the Word of God for us is essential. You need the Word of God every single day of your life. So in Jesus' encounter with the devil, it points out to us the fact that the Word of God is essential every single day of our lives, and we need to keep planting the Word of God. Brother Hagin used to say this concerning faith, prayer, and healing. Faith, prayer, and healing. He says, you need to plant the Word of God in your hearts because one day you might need it for yourself or someone in your family. And so I took that word and I began to plant it in my heart. And I know that, praise God, when my family got out of whack or when things happening to them and they didn't stay in the Word, but I'm staying in the Word, I was able to stand for them. I was able to stand for my family. I remember years ago when my sister died, she's 42 years old, and I was a Christian. I started going to a faith church, but I didn't have the Word planted yet in my heart like I should have, and like I could have. Maybe I could have started earlier in my life. And she died. I didn't know how to believe for her. My brother died at 52. I didn't know how to believe for him either. I could believe so much, but then again, I could not believe to a certain degree. My brother died of drug and on the streets and so on. And so I didn't know how to believe for different ones. And my brother recently, who had cancer, I was able to take the Word of God to him. When he was dying and believing that he was dying and he was getting weaker and weaker, I got the Word to God and I poured the Word of God to him every single moment, every time I got. I said, you're not going to die, you're going to live, and we're gonna do things together and so on. And so I was able to help him go through this stuff. And he lived and didn't die because of that cancer. Praise God. We can help people out, not only ourselves, but help our family members. Praise God. Amen. Help them out a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. So get the Word of God not only in your heart, but you got to get it out. Get it out of your mouth. Don't just plant it in your heart. Leave it there. Get it out of your mouth. Begin to confess it. You know, around here, I've been saying this for years, and I've been saying it when we didn't have any money. I said, thank God that all our church accounts are full. Thank you for the hundreds. Thank you for the thousands of dollars in there. We had just little. And thank you, Lord God, for Spirit Life has thousands of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars in there. Thank you, Jesus. I would walk around. I'd walk around the street here and pray. Walk around here every night and every day. Just continue saying, I say it in my house. I say it in my bathroom. I say it to myself. I say it driving down the streets. I would say it to myself, but nobody else wouldn't say it, that I didn't know who was saying it. I would tell people, believe with me. For years and years and I keep saying it, keep saying it. And I believe that this is happening right now. And even in time, I said, I got scriptures that said, even in a time of famine, even in time, the Bible says, even a time in famine, that God will increase you. In the time when there's little, God will increase you, and that you'll have more than enough while everybody else is going down. And the scriptures will say that, you know. So I begin to say what the scriptures say. You need to say what the Word of God says about you. So get the Word of God in your mouth. Praise God. Plant the word. The implanted word of God in your heart must be spoken from the mouth. The word of God is essential, and we must overcome this word with the word of God in our mouth, planted from our heart in our hearts. It is also essential that we speak the word of God every chance we get. In situations when everything's going well, begin to speak it. Sometimes when it's going bad, you want to speak morbid, but speak of it all the time, every single day. Mark Hankins used to say, "Never run at your giant with your mouth closed." He's using, 1 Samuel 17. Let's have a look at this illustration in David's life over here. Let's go to, as an illustration, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 to 49. And David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Let me just give you the background. David's dad had sent David to the front line there to his brothers and give them some certain things and to see about him and bring word back to his dad. So he was kind of like a carrier of messages and information and help for his brothers. And they went there and they started to, he was helping them as his brothers started to, criticize him and accuse him of doing different things. And he wanted to know what's going on. This giant would come out to the lines. He would say, "Send out your best man, and let's fight. And if I beat him, we will be your master. If he beats me, then we will be your masters. And come out here, you weak little weaklings. And who is your God? Our God is bigger." And so on. He began to shout out. And every time the giant would speak, the Bible says the Israelites there would, or the warriors there for the Israelite army, they would tremble and shake in their boots. Every time the devil speaks in certain people's homes, people start to shake and they get afraid. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to come and intimidate you, and then he's going to defeat you. But David, the Bible says, he had the word in his heart. He meditated the word. He's the same guy in chapter 1 says, if you plant the word of God in your heart, if you meditate on it day and night, you're going to have success in your life. Glory to God. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 says that. So David comes out there. He heard all this commotion. He says, he tells to the people, "So what will the king do for the one who defeats this giant?" And they rehearse that to him. David, you don't have to pay taxes. You can marry the king's daughter, and you don't ever have to pay taxes and whatever. He gave him these things that he could have if he defeat this giant. And so he asked that a couple of times. His brothers was mad at him. And so here in verse 46, here's what he said, and this is what you need to say to the devil if you're going to defeat the devil. He says, "This day," praise God, "faith is this day, faith is now, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hands, and I will smite you and take your head from you, and I will give your carcass to the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47, "And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with a sword and with a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands." Praise God. Verse 48, "And it came to pass when the Philistines arose, they came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the enemy to meet the Philistine. And David put in his hand, in his bag, he took out a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sank into the forehead, and he fell on his face on the earth." And so that's what he did. He met the giant with the word in his mouth. You, with the essential word of God planted in your heart, spoken out of your mouth, will make that giant die. You'll slay your giant by speaking the word of God. The word of God is a strong tower, praise God. The word of God is the word, or the scripture, is faith food. You need to say that to yourself. The word is faith food. So every time you eat your breakfast in the morning, and you make sure you got your Bible there, or you got your devotional there, take a few minutes, and make sure you get that faith food. Get that vitamin in you. What faith is for the body, or excuse me, what food is for the body, the word of God is for the spirit. What food is for the body, the word of God is for the spirit. The word is faith food. It will strengthen you. It will nourish you. It will build you up. Jesus answered and said unto that devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that's spoken, that is from the word of God, Luke 4:4. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 8. This is what God told Joshua. And this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Out of thy mouth. In other words, you need to do something with the word of God in your mouth. You need to speak the word of God every day. But you shall meditate there day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. How will you make your way prosperous? And how will you have good success? By meditating in the word. The meditating the word is the way you eat the word. Meditating is speaking to yourself to the word over and over and over and over again. And that's what the woman with the issue of blood, that she meditated the word. The Bible says in the fifth chapter there of Mark, I believe it was verse 28, 27, 28, and there she said, if I can just touch Jesus' garment, if I can just touch Jesus' garment, I shall be whole. If I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch him, if I can just get there, work my way there, I will stick my hand out and touch him. If I can just go and touch Jesus, if I just touch Jesus' hem of his garment, I'll be whole. She kept saying to herself, the Amplified Bible says, the Amplified says that. She said it over and over and over to herself. And she reached out and she got that power came into her by touching the garment of Jesus. Meditate or meditation is a form of eating the word. You have to put that somewhere. Meditating the word is a form of eating the word. It's the way to feed your spirit. It's your, so your spirits get strong through the meditating of the word of God, not just by reading it, speed reading it. Some people think that, you know, if I could just speed read this chapter. No, it's just meditating on the word, getting the scripture and talking to yourself about it. Talk to yourself about the word. It's not how much scriptures you read, it's what you read about. You know, read about finances, read about children, read about family, read about being healthy, read about long life, read about ministry and how you can be successful. And get that word in you. Strengthen yourself. Smith Wigglesworth, a great man of faith, apostle of faith, he said the word of God is faith food. The word of God is faith food. That's where Brother Hagin got that. So the main meal in any church service, the main meal in the church, whenever you have church, is the word of God. It's the session when we get down and start preaching the word. That's when we're having a big meal. Praise God. So this is everything that goes on in the church service, you know, great testimony, whatever's going on in church, could be dancing. When the Spirit gets it moving in a church service, we all get excited. But the most important thing that goes out in the church service is the word when people get fed. So, you know, the excitement that goes on, you know, when you get people together in church, there's an excitement. You come to church, there's an excitement here. There's something here. People's spirits are excited. And you come and you can just sense that excitement. So excitement. You know, it's great. Praise God. And then you get good music. I mean, that's great. Hallelujah for great music. When people get excited, they start running and they start dancing. They start laughing. They start shouting. And people start singing. People start prophesying. People start saying different things. And you see the healing that goes on in church services. The demonstrations are falling under the power of God. These are all non-essential. But the word of God is essential. These are just extra things. Thank God for falling down. Thank God for shaking in the power of God. Thank God for the singing. Thank God for the laughing and dancing. Laughing and dancing is not going to heal you. You know? Writing is not going to heal you. If you run by faith in the word, yeah, it's going to heal you. But all this stuff, this is just, extra. Jesus always put the word of God first in his ministry. And we see that in the Gospels. When you read the Gospels, you see that. Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Everybody say teaching. Praise God. Everybody, you know, we like things, but I think sometimes we need to see more. So teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. Thank God for preaching the gospel. You know, you could preach the gospel and say, hey, what the word of God will do. If you do this, God will do this. And if you do this, then God will do that. And if you do this, and you know, if you come on, everybody got to shout. And that's fine. But tell them the word, what the word of God says. Thank God for preaching. But you got to tell people what the word of God will do for you. So preach the word, teach the word, preach the word. And then he said, healing all manner of sickness, all the manner of disease. You know, you can get healed, but still not get salvation. You need to get the word in you. So verse 24 says, his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them all. Matthew 9:35 says this, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Notice this, teaching in the synagogues. He put the word first, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease. That's what he did. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching, preaching, and healing. It's all in the word, but put the word of God first. Over here we see Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 3, King James. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Here, they came to hear the word of God. So he was teaching the word. He stood by Lake Gennesaret, verse 2. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little further from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the boat. We see him teaching the people. He put the word of God, constantly putting the word of God out there. Constantly putting the word of God, telling people, I'm anointed. I got anointing on me. The anointing's on me right now. If you touch me, you'll be healed. That's what he said. And so people, that's why people reached out to him, to touch him. Verse chapter 5, verse 15. But so much more went a fame abroad of him, and great multitude came together to, number one, to hear and to be healed. So the best way to get healed is to hear what the word of God says. Hear the word of God says and begin to confess that after you're healed. Confess that and say, thank God I'm healed because of the word of God. Thank God I can get the word of God in my life if I can just hear the word of God, even if I say it myself, praise God. Verse 15 says, that New Living says, but despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him to preach and to be healed of their diseases. So people want gifts and manifestation of the Spirit. You know, thank God for that, but you can't live on manifestations. You can't live on gifts of the Spirit. You can't live on the working of miracles. You can't live on, you know, healing power, just a healing anointing. You live on the Word of God, that every word that proceeds from the Word of God. So thank God, but we can't, you know, thank God for those things, but we can't never live without the Word of God. That's the Word of God says. So the Word of God is light. When the Word of God comes to you, it brings illumination, it brings revelation, it gives you light of dark, what you can't see in the dark. The Word of God will give you truth when there's confusion everywhere, when everything is going crazy, you get the Word of God in you, bang, it gives you the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? John says that, John chapter chapter 8. So I wanted to remind you one more time that we need to get focused on the Word of God. You know, although I believe that most of you know this already, we all need little reminders about sticking with the Word of God. We need to refocus on the absolute worth of God and what it will do for us. Let's look here at Psalm 119, verse 60, and John 17, 17. And it tells us God's Word is truth, and God's Word is light. It's God's Word that will set us free from anything that would bind us. As we said in John 8, 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, when you're honest, you know, you can't get help if you're dishonest. I found out when I was in addictions, they told me, Roma, you have to be honest with yourself. And be honest with yourself. If you're not honest, you can't ever be helped. And so I got honest. I began to admit I have a problem. And when I got a problem, if you got a problem right now in your life, if you got an addiction issue that you've been hiding, some people have addiction issue with pornography and no one knows it, not even their wife or not even their husband. I know women have the same problem, but they never tell their husband. They never tell their wife. And there's people that young kids have addiction to it, young children, and they're on their phones. They have an addiction problem. Some are drinking, some are smoking, and they have addiction problems. You cannot get help. You'll never overcome it. You know, you could hide it for many, many years, decades. I've known ministers who've hid things for decades, and suddenly it all fell apart. They lost their ministry, they lost their home, they lost everything. And if you don't get honest with yourself, it'll destroy you. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week or next month or next year, but eventually, the Bible says the truth will find you out sooner or later. So get out there and get help. And that's a word for somebody right now. You need to go and find some help. All right. The word is truth. Psalm 119, verse 60. The word is true from beginning, and every one of the righteous judgments endures forever. That's God's word. The word will work from generation to generation. It will work in David's time, Daniel's time, Isaiah's time. It's going to work right now, right here. Hallelujah. The word will work from generation to generation. It's the truth of God's word. John 17, 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. You know, I remember listening to Pastor Hagin's story in the last meeting that we had. He ran into a bad situation, bad news regarding his son. His young son, you know, Craig at that time was sick. He was ill and he was at home. He was having some pain and having different things happen to him. And then finally, you know, had to go to the doctors there, went to the doctors. And they found a big, big tumor the size of his fist in his head there, back there. And he had to have immediate operation. And this could kill him. And even the operation itself would kill him. And so they prayed about it. And, you know, they say, you know, if nothing changes in 24 hours, and if you prayed about it, nothing changes, you need to do something in the natural right away. So they took him to the doctor, and they said they're going to do it. You know, in the middle of crisis, in any crisis, I know I've had some crisis this year, and you've had some. I know some of my pastors had them. You know, when you're in a crisis, sometimes it's a long crisis. I've had some long ones. And then you don't feel like shouting. You don't feel like dancing. Had to come here and preach the Word of God, just like anybody else, and act like everything's so. And I had to preach when death is looking in my eyes, you know. And that financial discouragement is dancing right before me naked. And I had to stay with a smile on my face. I know that might sound funny, but it's what it was. There's no hiding it. There's financial difficulties. There's life and death matters for my own family, my own children, for my own relatives. There's death facing me. I've done so many funerals this year. It's not even funny. Relatives, close friends, and people that I know. I've done some. I was getting sick and tired of those funerals. I told Pastor Ken and Pastor Steve. I said, you know, one time, Steve, you know, he had another appointment. I said, Steve, you're going to have to go to. He said, no, I got an appointment. Pastor Ken, you take that. No, I'm out of town. But they said, I'll take it. So I was tired. You know, you get that feeling you're sick and tired, you know. And so it was, that's on top of my own trouble, my own financial, own death situations. But I kept the word. I paced the word. I paced the floor, walk in the word, praising God. Walk around here, around the church, and pray and thank God and believe this word. And so with this situation, you know, Brother Higgins said he didn't feel like dancing. He didn't feel like shouting. But the word of God will enlighten you. And the word of God will rise up big in you, in your spirit, when you planted that word in your heart. It will enlighten your mind and give you direction when you need it in a dark situation. The Holy Spirit will remind you what the word of God is to your life. So sometimes medical emergencies have to be done. And over the last few years, we've had to do some medical emergencies in our own home for different situations. and stick with the Word of God. I mean, I've had some, you know, since 30 years, I've had some things happen to me. You know, the doctor told me I was very sick, and people, a lot of people didn't know it for a number of years. Preaching the Word, the devil tried to kill me. And no one knows it. No one knows it. I knew it. Even my wife, I didn't want to give it to her. I went to a doctor, specialist and all that. And different things happened to me. And the doctor said, you could die in a moment. That's not good news to hear. And so they told me what I had. I don't tell anybody what. I just tell what the Word of God says. I was tired. Physically tired. I couldn't get up for an hour. If I did one meeting for one hour, I'd have to be on my back for the rest of the day. And just felt so sick. And if you ever had a heart attack or a stroke, you'd know it. If you had problems with your life, you would know it right away and how weak you can get. And so I preached the Word, Lord of God, and I've seen it happen to other people. But you got to stick with the Word of God. I didn't tell anybody I got financial problems. I go to the Word of God. Don't put pressure on people. Put it on the Word. Here's what Keith Moore says. He used to tell us all the time in school. He says, faith puts no pressure on people. Faith puts no pressure on people. You need to put that on your status. Faith puts no pressure on people. A man shouldn't put pressure on his wife. A woman shouldn't put pressure on his wife. You got to go out to work. You got to go make this money. Whatever it is you're doing back there. You know, a pastor puts pressure on the people. You need to start giving or we're going to go down. No, you must as well go down. Just give the people the Word. They can give what they want to give. I tell people, you can tithe if you want to. If you don't tithe, I'll still be here. But if you want to follow and go ahead, but do it by faith. Don't do it because I'm forcing you. I'm pressuring you. You do it because you're doing it by faith. Everything has to be done by faith. It's not a law. You don't have to tithe. You come into this church, you don't have to tithe. You can come, give whatever you want until you come to a place where you see it. I'm not going to trick you. You go ahead and do it yourself. And so I realized that for a long, long time, you know. And sometimes we've done it in the past. We taught it the wrong way because we learned from different people, but we learned. Brother Higgins said it's a faith thing. We do this by faith, and we do it because we love God. Sometimes you give sacrificially because you love God. You love His people. You love His church, so you give because you love people. I'd give my last dollar to my kids because I love them. I'd give them my last car. I'd do whatever. I'd give my life. I'd sell my house. If my kids needed something and they're in trouble, I'd sell my house and get them free. That's what I do for my kids. And so with God, we give His people because we love God. And so around here, that's what we teach, and that's the Word of God. You do it because you love. Two things. You have faith, and you have love. And so, and Craig, you know, he had that emergency surgery, and the Bible says, you know, Brother Hagin says, Pastor Hagin says, when they did the surgery, they went ahead and had emergency surgery to take out that tumor on his head back there. And they had to leave some of it back there. They pulled most of it out because if they went back there, he could have been paralyzed because it was at the base of his neck there. And they left it open and there was a big hole. He's like, I think 14 years old or something like that. 12 years old when he was. He said, that hole will always be there. And you know, guess what? They believed God. Well, the rest of it disappeared. And the place that it said it would be open forever in the back of his head there, and the bone would never go back, it went back. The Word of God did it. And so we need to take the Word of God and use it, and use what is it? You know, at the Oral Roberts, there's a hand like this called praying hands. That's supposed to represent God and man talking, putting together. They're working together. God wants to work with you. You know, I've taken a picture of that under those hands for many, many years. I think 1986, first time I went there and took a picture of it with me standing under it. Here's what Psalm 38, verse 2 says, I will worship towards thy holy temple, thy praise, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Psalm 138, verse 8. We must place the same value on God's word as God himself places that word. Same value. It will sustain us in the middle of storm. The word will sustain, like it sustained Pastor Hagin. Pastor Hagin said when Brother Hagin died, he immediately lost one-third of his donors for Rhema and the training center and all that to run the program. You can't run all your programs with a third of your ministry funds gone. Nobody can do that. But he said because he stayed in the word and he was able to be sustained every year. And it kept growing and growing and growing. The Bible says, Mark chapter 7, verse 7, asking it shall be given unto you. We need to ask. And Hebrews 11, 6 says that faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know what? If we go after God with his word and stay with the word, he will reward you eventually. It will come to pass in your life because you stay with the word. Keep putting the word of God out even when it doesn't seem like nothing's working. Keep putting the word of God out when it seems like everything's gone, when there's no hope. Say healing belongs to me. Say financial blessings are coming my way. Say that to yourself regularly. Say thank God the money will come. You know, the very last words of anybody before they leave this earth or before they leave anywhere on a long journey or they leave you, those words are very important. Jesus said some things when he left here before he went to heaven, when he went back to heaven. In Mark chapter 16, let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 16 to 20 there. We'll close with this verse. The importance of using the word. So let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 16, right down to 20. We're going to close with this. And he said to them, to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You know, that's a strong word. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Well, I've cast devils out. I speak with tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It says in there, verse 18, they shall take up serpents. Well, I've never taken serpents, but I've been through some deadly moose around. If they drink any deadly thing, I've drinking my father-in-law's coffee, I didn't die. It didn't hurt me. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I've seen people recover that I didn't think should have recovered, you know, because they would have been dead. Verse 19, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went forth, that is the disciples, and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. Not the government working with them. The Lord working with them. And confirming the word with signs following. In other words, the Lord confirmed the word. If you and I will stay with the word, he will confirm the word in your life. Say it to yourself. So don't ease down on the word of God when crisis comes. Don't loosen up. Keep your confession up. Even when it seems like you're dying, when nothing's working, when everything's gone, you've been abandoned, everybody's left you. Keep saying the word, praise God, amen. Say it every day. Meditate on the word. Let's go ahead and pray. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for the word of faith today. We believe that in the name of Jesus, that this word went sharply, just like the word of God is sharp, quicker than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. I believe the word of God is able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, and they'll know the difference between what is of the flesh and what is of the spirit. I want to thank you that the word of God has gone forth in a wonderful way, and the people of God are believing out there right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that any situation that they're applying the word of God today, that this will come out to their advantage, that they'll come out on top, not in the bottom, that they will live and not die, that they'll be healed and not be sick, and that they'll be saved and not forgotten. We want to praise you and thank you for every family. I pray for every family, Father, right now to strengthen them I pray for every need be met, both spiritual and natural, in the name of Jesus, whatever they need. Speak out your need right now in the name of Jesus. If it's healing, if it's health, if it's direction, if it's for family members, you speak that out right now in the name of Jesus. I come in agreement with them. If you, two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, every need shall be met. Every need shall be met in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you're not a Christian, you're not born again, the Bible said, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be healed. Let's pray right now. Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe in the name of Jesus that I came here to die for this world. I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. Come into my life, save me, wash me with your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and going to hell for me so that I don't have to go there. And I believe that you were raised the third day and now is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. I believe that, and because I believe it, I am now born again, I am now saved, I am now a child of God. I thank you for that in Jesus' name.